Morley.
Welcome to the Value Coffee Talk podcast.
This podcast is a service of the Enterprise Value Collective, a community for business value-focused leaders and practitioners, and is sponsored by our value consultancy, Genius Drive.
And our mission, that's to help you accelerate and optimize value articulation in each of your customer engagements and throughout the customer lifecycle. And to help us understand some best practices in that area, we've invited Kathleen Garonsky. She is the VP of Value Engineering and Customer Success at Workforce Management Solutions provider, Workforce Software. Welcome, Kathy.
Thank you for having me.
Awesome. Kathy, first, tell us a little bit about your value practice and program.
Well, let's see. I started the practice about maybe 9.5 years ago now. Wow. And I had previously started a very similar program at a large outsourcing company. And so I was super excited to join a super cool SaaS workforce software provider to really do the same thing. So we really cover the globe. So we have value consultants in APJ and cover Europe and also Latin America and North America. So we're very global and have an amazing team of consultants, of course. As far as kind of our deliverables, I would say our deliverables really span from what you'd expect to see, a very generic industry profile all the way to a very customized enterprise level, full up business case, and now also going into the value realization study. So it's a really kind of full spectrum of, deliverables in the practice, if you will. Our solution really delivers a lot of value. So we have really solid value drivers. They are, our solution fits between core HR and payroll. So there's a lot there that can add up to some really like hard dollar savings. And just recently, I would say we're trying to build out our value story to be a bit more holistic and comprehensive as far as what's the rest of the story? What's the impact on employee experience and maybe, enabling strategic things like people analytics? So we're working to be, and I know you've had some guests on that have talked more about the value story. So I would say at the beginning, we were very into the very quantifiable things, but now we're really trying to build out that whole story. So we've been evolving and we're also a solution extension of SAP. So we have an opportunity to team up with their value engineering team quite a bit, where we provide maybe a whole HR digital transformation and we are the workforce management piece and they are maybe like for, HR or payroll or something like that. So we also get to collaborate with other value engineering teams in our sales motion. So that's pretty interesting as well. So that's us. That's our practice.
That's great. That's really unique to have the opportunity to collaborate across companies. And it sounds like you've experienced some additional changes lately in kind of taking over the customer success function. So I'd love to hear about your journey there in building up the value program and then also taking on customer success.
We, fall of last year, we decided to really move value engineering and customer success kind of under one roof, if you will. And it really was to help weave that gold value thread through the entire customer journey, right? So this way, it makes it a bit easier for our value consultants to really work closely together with our customer success managers to make sure that we're pulling that value thread through the whole customer journey. So obviously, it didn't just like happen like that. We're still working, but that's really, where we've kind of put the things together to kind of be able to weave that a little bit easier through the journey.
Yeah, I do think that this could be a trend, Kathy, that you know, workforce software has started with you and in your journey. But I do think it's important that customer success, that either they embrace the realized value and the value review approach with customers, because at the end of the day, you're a value assurance group for that customer. And why not have the value engineering group take that on as their responsibility and their leadership? Why do you think it was so important at Workforce Software to do that? I mean, I know a lot of companies, they were struggling with renewals and downgrades and expansion challenges. Was it similar to where it's like, hey, we need to fix this and really re-engineer customer success?
Yeah. I mean, 100%. You're spot on. We are seeing phase-based buying motions. Mm-hmm. We are seeing whatever you may want to call it, buying in chunks. We mm-hmm. are seeing our customers, and these, a lot of these are large global deployments, right? So multi-year implementation, waves and waves and waves of global locations. So not only are they having to capture the value realized from maybe wave one and use that for change management for wave two, mm-hmm. now we're seeing them aligning their buying motion with that as well. So we are almost in a just, you know, repeated sales motion, mm-hmm. but instead of forecasting what's going to happen from a value standpoint, we're taking the actuals and putting the story together for the next buying motion. So 100%, it really, and then of course, to your point, Tom, like reducing churn, right? Mm-hmm. So when we're not even in the buying motion, when it's an existing customer, we're also building this into the customer success plans, these success or value check-ins, which we used to do standalone, and using that so we can help address where maybe there is a barrier to value realization and then get that back on track, which is where the customer success managers really come into play and can really help with that. So
it's really interesting. I had someone ask me recently about the customer success organization and can we turn all CSMs into value engineers? And, you know, you're so familiar with both areas. I'm curious your perspective.
Certainly the group that we have are some of the best and brightest, like, you know, highly skilled in their fields. I would say are, certainly they could do it from a skill standpoint, but I think we have very different, measurables as far as what success looks like for each of the teams, where our value engineers are measured on, you know, basically sales success. Are we, you know, helping our close rates go up? Are the deals larger? Mm-hmm. Are we, you know, shortening those cycles? And our customer success managers are really metriced on retention. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think skill and people wise, there's mm-hmm. like a lot of, you know, high business acumen, you know, good customer management, a lot of those skills overlap. But I think it's more like, what are we, you know, how are we setting them up for what, you know, metrics, kind of corporate metrics we want them to drive to.
Yeah. Kathy, prior to becoming a value leader, when I researched your profile, you were an entrepreneur, a coach, a marketer, an analyst, consulting. You were also an IT leader. How did you get into value and how do you think some of the background you had helped? And what would you recommend to others who are kind of exploring this path of value?
So, I think in part of the question was like, what led you there? I think that you can take over, but absolutely. Really, it was a sales leader that kind of dropped me there.
Glad you were dropped. I love that.
I was assigned to really, when I worked for that large outsourcing company that did people process technology outsourcing, mm-hmm. that sales leader recognized the need, and probably before this was like a very well-known discipline on its own, he was like, we need to quantify the value of what we're doing here for our customers. So mm-hmm. here's a team of consultants, go create a process, and we're going to start running that play as part of our sales motion. So we created something we called the Total Value Partnership. that was our became our engagement model. And then it just kind of led on from there. And I think at the time it was more maybe in a pre-sales consulting like solutioning role. But, you know, that's really how it all started. But I mean, obviously I love, and I'm still active on a lot of our large deals. I love the practitioner role. Our director who runs our practice would probably like to kick me out, but it's hard. But it's really key to our go-to-market strategy here at Workforce Software. And so it's super exciting. And it's a role where you're using like left brain, right brain, all the business expertise, all relying on like every bit, as you guys know, every bit of skill you can pull from to, you know, make an impact. So we're really, really lucky that our value team, we have experienced value consultants that we've been able to bring on board, and they're super passionate about the discipline. They're just very, I love what we do. And I get the sense that, you know, they're happy to be doing this role, but it's a combination of those skills that I think, make a good practitioner, for the value consultant. Yeah.
That's really funny. Yeah, sometimes life just kind of throws you into things. It sounds like you landed into value, but found a home in it. I'm curious on, you know, you said that you worked at an outsourcing company and then went into SaaS. And how did you approach those two areas differently?
Actually, I mean, as much as we think SaaS, you know, software as a service is, you know, kind of a hard thing to get your arms around from a value standpoint. When you talk about these large business process outsourcing, it's actually even more complex, right? Because now we're quantifying the value of using this staff versus an internal staff, and using, you know, a process that is getting economies of scale versus their internal. So just kind of what we're doing with just the software is really just a piece of that. So I actually think it's the whole business case itself is a little bit more focused and a little less complex. But the thing that makes it kind of challenging, but also kind of cool, is that we're constantly releasing new software. Mm. So our models and our value drivers, we're always looking for, you know, is that feature or function going to drive enough value where we need to change a model and we need to, you know, increment, you know, our benefits side of the equation. So, So a little bit, it's a slice of what we used to do, but it's actually, back in the old days, the software didn't change much, right? So now you're constantly updating value.
As you implemented the program at Workforce Software, I'm sure it wasn't just a linear, oh, everything's great and growing. And, you know, what are some of the challenges that you faced in implementing the program, particularly ones that you think others who are creating programs or maybe expanding their program might face?
I'd like to hear this one. Or maybe you, I don't know, but I think you already know this one. One of our top challenges is really our data, right? It still locks in these islands of Excel, right? So for us to run summary statistics across what we're doing is super difficult. Mm-hmm. It's a challenge, right? On average, what kind of value do we project in this vertical? It's really hard for us to answer those kinds of questions. So it's a challenge. Like most in what you guys have probably experienced, we have some issues in some areas really integrating our value deliverables into the sales motion at times. Mm-hmm. So our new CRO, though, is really, really hitting that head on, requiring business cases for like our top deals. So we're really getting better coverage of our pipeline now. And now the challenge is just getting more strategic with those. So we're not just, you know, the factory, like dumping a business case, like really trying to be more strategic with those. So I'm sure these are challenges that you guys have never heard before. So anyway, but yeah
absolutely. Yeah. And I'm sure there's plenty of requests for business cases to keep the team busy. You know, what are some of the areas that you look at as most important in moving to a more strategic approach?
So, I would say this whole concept of weaving the value thread throughout the whole journey is, and really orchestrating that is really where we're going. And I think a few years ago, we rolled out a process called a value check-in. And it was post-implementation, and it was a point in time, and it was a report card, and it was something after implementation, but it was really not as actionable as what we can do now with putting customer success and value together. Mm-hmm. Those things can be built in the customer success plan and into the journey. So when we have a success checkpoint, value is a piece of that. But because you know, when customers view success, it's not just the business outcomes, but there's many other lenses that they look at to you know, measure our success. Absolutely. And the value that we're providing as a solution provider. So really, just being able to kind of weave that through and orchestrate value across their whole journey. And sometimes, you know, they need a plan to kind of get back into that space of value where maybe they made some design considerations. They had to maybe go live before they wanted. And now we need to put together a plan to get them back on track. So we're really doing more to keep them in that gold thread, like from breaking, you know, breaking apart anywhere in that journey. And it is very much a process, but also an artifact, right? So we not only did we need to put a process in place, we needed to make sure that value drivers from business cases are captured in success plans. And maybe there's some curation, but we're really making sure there's a place for them to go. And that's really how we're doing that. So not perfect yet. We're in the middle of all this right now, but I really think this is how we get that value thread kind of woven through that whole journey.
Yeah. Kathy, we really find that if you don't have that good handoff of the kind of understanding of the customer value from the challenges and pain that they were solving to mm-hmm. the outcomes that they anticipated in that value, and that gets handed off properly so the customer success, when they're doing the quarterly business reviews, can review that with them. I think that's an important element to success. Two other areas that you haven't mentioned yet in terms of the golden thread that we like to consider is the first contacts with the customer and making sure that value is properly represented and set up correctly in marketing, and then going through the whole customer lifecycle back. How do you and are you working on making sure that the product itself is becoming instrumented to help with some of the realized value success and even driving value to customers with product improvements instead of just features that are nice to haves?
Yeah, those are really good points, Tom. So on the front end, we do work really closely with marketing, and our chief marketing officer, Sandra Moran, is all about value. So awesome. She's always pulling us in that direction and more forward into the process, which we love. So we have a lot of repeatable collateral. We don't have probably the level of automation we want, but we do have the ability to do some of those outside in quick business case perspectives that end up in our account-based marketing strategy. So we work really closely with them, and sorry, I didn't mention that, on the very front end is mm-hmm. like one of our key deliverables. Right. So we do have generic industry perspectives about mm-hmm. value for certain verticals, but we really do team up and I think work really well with marketing on those early activities where they're still in the mix from an account-based marketing standpoint. And mm-hmm. we're very, very targeted in what we're doing. And then what was the other product part on the back yeah. end? Our product does have some success metrics kind of built in, if you will, nice. But we are working on that. Mm-hmm. In fact, I just met with our product team this week, and we're really, really trying to do a better job of packaging up those success metrics and getting them in an easier way within our product. A lot of what we do, for example, we take time out of certain process areas. That some of those are kind of outside the realm of where our software operates. Mm-hmm. So some of those have to come from our customer side, but there are lots of things we do that are very quantifiable that would be, you know, in a report card, in a scorecard. And we are working toward that. We are in a technology evaluation cycle around that to like bolt some things on yeah. to what we can do, both kind of outside our product from a platform standpoint and within. So we are right in the middle of that.
I can say for sure there's just never enough hours in the day. And what you mentioned before is, you know, you have these stakeholders in marketing and product who are helping drive it forward. And it really does help, like, require a village in order to have value exist in every stage of the customer journey. The orchestration job, you know, may exist within the value team, but the execution of it requires the whole company. So, you know, you mentioned it's not quite perfect yet. And I could say probably it never will be. I haven't talked to a value leader who said that their program is perfect yet. And as soon as it is perfect, then I will inevitably change.
Yeah.
So what is the one piece of advice you'd like to leave the Enterprise Value Collective with today?
I think, number one, thank you for putting all this together, because I really do think from what I've listened to the other folks that have been on these sessions have been really great learning opportunity for me. So I appreciate that. And I think really just an appreciation for how we can learn from each other to better support these change agents that we all, you know, they're really relying on us to help them make that change. And it's really hard to do. And no matter if they're a small organization or large, the better that we can be, then the better they can be at getting the changes made that they need to happen from, you know, business case, whatever those things are. So I really think it's just an appreciation for how we can better leverage communities like this to just get better and to help support, you know, our key stakeholders in the better. Thank you for that.
Thank you, Kathy. Thank you so much for joining on this on the Value Coffee Talk podcast.
All right. Happy to be here.
And if you like what you heard, hit the like button, subscribe to the episode so you stay up to date on the latest podcast postings. Also, Enterprise Value Collective, the community. Sign up on LinkedIn, geniusdrive.com website. We've got some great research, some additional guides coming out to help you, and insights to guide your practice. And until next time, our Enterprise Value Collective, keep sharing and growing together.